This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. Imagine you're a world-famous composer and your birthday has been designated a national holiday. What present would you give to your grateful nation? Well, how about a symphony? Jean Sibelius had become a cultural icon in 1892 when his choral symphony Kullervo had its premiere. It was based on the Finnish national epic, the Kalevala, and it immediately became part of the soundtrack of Finland's struggle for independence from Russia. In 1902, Sibelius's second symphony brought him worldwide fame, and until runner Paavo Nurmi made his debut at the Antwerp Olympics in 1920, Sibelius was the only Finn with that kind of renown, and his countrymen treated him like a national hero. Sibelius visited the United States in 1914 to receive an honorary doctorate from Yale, but by the time he arrived home, virtually all of Europe was at war. A few years earlier, he had written, "I have always hated all empty talk on political questions, all amateurish politicizing. I have tried to make my contribution another way," end quote. Whether or not he meant them to, Sibelius's works had become a part of Finnish politics, and it was inevitable that the war would affect the new symphony he had promised to deliver in time for his 50th birthday celebrations the following year. Between the war and professional and public distractions, Sibelius had a hard time finishing the symphony, which was to be his fifth. It premiered on time, on his birthday in 1915, but he revised it several times before he was satisfied. One of his major changes was pulling the original four movements into three. 7 years earlier, Gustav Mahler had come to visit, and the two had compared their symphonic philosophies. Mahler had said, "The symphony must be like the world. It must embrace everything." But Sibelius was always striving for concentration and said that what he admired was the severity of style and the profound logic that created an interconnection between all the motifs, end quote. He spent the rest of his career distilling his work, trying to get closer to the pure essence of music. While other composers were engaged in manufacturing cocktails, he wrote, "I offered the public pure cold water." Early in his compositional process in the fall of 1914, Sibelius had jotted these words in his notebook, "In a deep valley again, but I already begin to see dimly the mountain that I shall certainly ascend. God opens his door for a moment, and his orchestra plays the Fifth Symphony," end quote. Political stability finally returned to Finland in the spring of 1919, and Sibelius was able to finish his revisions. That's the version we know today. And just like Beethoven's Third Symphony and Fifth Piano Concerto, which are in the same key of E-flat, the opening of Sibelius's Fifth Symphony is iconic and instantly recognizable. It's built on a soft timpani roll and the sound of French horns. The woodwinds enter gently at first, but then begin a whirling figure that moves through the section. Sibelius introduces a half dozen ideas in just the first 30 seconds of this symphony, and they build to a series of what you could call exclamations. The entire opening movement is generated out of these ideas, and it unfolds with the economy of an 18th century symphony. First, Sibelius brings all these themes back, like the exposition of a work by Haydn or Mozart, but with a different harmonic perspective in a new key. Then he begins to transform it, again like the development in a Haydn or Mozart work. The flute and clarinet play a phrase that works itself into a mysterious kind of fugue, which quickens into what author Donald Tovey called a cloudy chromatic trembling, with the clarinet and bassoon moaning the original figure. There are also exclamations in the second phase of the development, but broader and more passionate. The tempo picks up, and the first theme turns into a dance tune. Even though it's still technically part of the first movement, this part functions as the symphony's scherzo, the lighter, quicker inner movement. The trumpet introduces a contrasting trio section. And then the return of the scherzo theme becomes the recapitulation, the return to the beginning, for the entire movement. The horn call from the very first bars turns into an obsessively repeated chord that whirls the orchestra into a dizzy conclusion. With a big finish. Many composers have written variations on a theme. What Sibelius does in the second movement here could be called variations on a rhythm, two groups of five even notes separated by a pause. There are six different tunes in the movement, all of them variants of this rhythm, and they're accompanied by sustained chords in the winds, which provide a contrast with the gentle but persistent energy of the rhythmic theme. The tempo picks up. And the variations are supported by a great swinging bass line. Remember that bass line, it'll be back. The finale of the symphony begins with more whirling energy. When things calm down, two pairs of French horns begin tolling like swinging bells. Yes, that is the swinging bass from the previous movement. The strings play the same pattern, slightly out of phase, as if we're hearing it carrying across the countryside. Woodwinds and cellos add a new melody, turning the horn theme into an accompaniment. Once it's established, Sibelius takes these melodies into new harmonic territory. The strings bring back the tolling bells with the melody above in the woodwind. The tonality in the winds gets fuzzy as the modernist Sibelius makes an appearance. The strings play a broad countermelody. The tolling bells move to the brass, and things appear to be leading to a big finish. The texture gets thicker and more dissonant. Then the hammer of silence falls, and it may seem like the ending, but don't be fooled, it's just the beginning of the ending. Sibelius wrote his Fifth Symphony at a time when he was beginning to feel that music was passing him by, and his first version was far more modernist, as if he were trying to keep up with the Schoenbergs and the Stravinskys. But by the time he had finished his revisions, he had decided that he had to find a place where he was comfortable, a modern symphony in a classical structure. He said, "I wish to give my symphony another more human form, more down-to-earth, more vivid," end quote. In that, he succeeded. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.